Thank you for listening to the Alan Wright Sermons podcast. I'm his son, Matthew, and we have been splitting up the sermons every other week at our house church that my wife and I host on our farm. If you're interested in joining us, check out WrightFarmHouseChurch.com. Enjoy today's lesson. All right, Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all of their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, It says, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Do you know your own weaknesses? Are you self-aware enough that you can see yourself from kind of the outside looking in, like how other people see you, so that you're able to identify your strengths, but also your weaknesses in life? The question isn't, do you have weaknesses? The question is, do you know your weaknesses? But what about your spiritual weaknesses? Do you know them? Let's say 5 or 10 years from now, you find out that you've drifted pretty far from pretty far away from Jesus. You've not read the words of God in the Bible, and you found yourself distracted by maybe a YouTube and a Facebook and internet and a media world, and you've drifted away from God. Do you know what it is in your life right now that if left unchecked would lead a drift away from God? Do you know your own spiritual weaknesses? Those areas in your life where you are most susceptible to temptation. If you ever played sports, we were out with Michael yesterday. He was playing a baseball tournament. And if you've ever played sports or even paid attention to sports or commentation or anything like that, you know that it's pretty common for a coach to hand out a scouting report of the opponent to his team, and that scouting report would have the opponent's strengths and weaknesses, and how that team is going to, and how your team is going to exploit the weaknesses of the other team. But a really good coach doesn't just have a scouting report on the opponent's team. That really good coach has a scouting report on their own team, so that they know their own team's strengths and weaknesses and how the other team is going to exploit their weaknesses, right? Yesterday, Michael was the starting pitcher for his team, and he struck out of 4 innings, 12 outs, he struck out 8 batters. And we were really proud of him. But I bet if we play that team again, they're going to say, hey, that kid pitches to you high, or whatever, you know. They're going to have a scouting report on Michael next time. That's kind of the point. I'm also bragging on my son because he did a great job. I'm shamelessly plugging him right now. If there are any scouts in the audience. But the Bible says that we have a spiritual opponent who knows our weaknesses and he tries to exploit them, right? So the question again for us is, do we know our spiritual weaknesses? Do we know where we are especially vulnerable to temptation? So today we're looking at temptation and how to fight it in the life, and how Jesus fought it in his life, and specifically here in chapter 4. We're going to learn something from this passage that will help us be prepared to face our spiritual opponents and be prepared to fight back. So we pick up here in verse one of chapter 4. It said, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil." So first, you can't help but notice that Jesus is full of the Spirit, and he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he is going to face this temptation. Sometimes I think in our lives, when we are in a season of temptation, we might tend to believe we're in that season of temptation because it is a sign that God is far from us or something like that. But that's obviously not true, because here it is that God, the Holy Spirit, who leads Jesus into this season of temptation. Now, when we are led into seasons of temptation, I can't tell you exactly what God is up to, right? Maybe God allows us into a season of temptation because for a variety of reasons. Maybe we find ourselves there because we've removed ourselves from his word and found ourselves more familiar with the world than we are with the word. But maybe it's to teach us something else. But either way, maybe he will allow temptation because he allows temptations in our lives because maybe it's there to humble us. Maybe it's to teach us something. Maybe it's to teach us to rely on him more. I'm not sure, to be honest, what each and every temptation he allows is there for. But it gives me great comfort in this story of Jesus to know that God is in this, that God is still with me, even when I'm being tempted. It reminded me of 1 Corinthians, when Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide an escape so that you can stand up under it." God does allow temptation. And we know he understands temptation because Jesus underwent temptation. In this story in Luke, the Spirit is guiding Jesus into temptation. And this should encourage us, actually, and give us hope. And it's also pretty obvious that Luke wants us to see Jesus' temptation story here in light of Israel's story. He wants us to see this temptation that Jesus endured in light of the temptation that Israel endured. We see that for a couple of reasons. We see that because of where it happened. Both temptations and challenges happened in the wilderness, right? We also see it because Jesus was tempted for 40 days, and Israel, you might remember, was tempted and challenged for 40 years. I think what Luke wants us to see is that when Israel faced temptation in the wilderness for 40 years, they failed. They failed. But Jesus was faithful in the wilderness for 40 days. He endured the temptation and he never gave in to a spiritual opponent. Jesus never sinned. Now, there are three temptations, right, that the devil puts in front of Jesus. The first one is this. He says to him in verse 3, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." What's the temptation there? You might think it's a temptation for Jesus to feed himself because he was hungry. But is it wrong to eat when you're hungry? Right? If you were Jesus and you could perform miracles, would it necessarily be wrong for Jesus to have created some bread out of a rock so that he could have a little sustenance? Jesus took 5 loaves. There's a story where Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he miraculously multiplied that into enough food to feed 5,000 people on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, if you'll remember. Was that wrong? Well, obviously it wasn't wrong, right? When Satan tells Jesus to tell the stone to become bread, it is the temptation to provide for our own needs and keep God out of it. It's the temptation to say, I'm going to take my life into my own hands. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to meet my own needs. After all, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, right? He was very hungry. And I'm sure what he wanted more than anything was just to have a decent meal, probably. But listen to how Jesus answers Satan. He says in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So what Jesus does here is he quotes scripture back to Satan. He quotes Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, which says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus fights Satan's lies by responding with biblical truth. And the biblical truth is this, that he doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from God. What Jesus is saying to Satan is that he has food that Satan knows nothing about, that it tastes better to obey God than to try to meet his own needs. Jesus tells Satan through scripture that he is relying on God in his time of need and not himself. So Satan comes back. He comes back with a second temptation, and it says in verse 5, then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you authority over all these kingdoms and all their glory, he said, for it has been relinquished to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Satan gives Jesus this offer. He says to him, look, I will give you authority over all these kingdoms. They all belong to me, and I can give them to you. I can give them to whoever I want to give to. All you've got to do is worship me, and it'll all be yours, right? It's interesting because Jesus is being offered and tempted. What he's being offered and tempted with here is a shortcut. It's a shortcut. Jesus knew that if he was faithful to his Father, and if he obeyed his Father's will, that he would have all authority over all things in heaven and on earth. But guess what? Jesus also knew that the way that the Father had marked out for him, it included the cross. And what Satan is doing is he's saying, look, I'll give you a shortcut. I'll give you a shortcut here. You can have the crown and all the authority over all the kingdoms of this world without the cross. I'll just give them to you now. All you got to do is worship me. So tell me if I'm wrong here, but I believe this is a shortcut we're tempted with all the time in numerous ways. We want the crown, but we don't want the cross, right? We want the riches, and we don't want to do the work that brings the riches. We want the heaven without the perseverance. We want the peace of our nations without the war machines and the war, right? And the violence. We want the word of God in 10 simple steps on Facebook, and we want it to make sense, but we never want to open our Bibles and do the work of reading it. We want to lose weight, but we don't want to stop the gluttony and the delicious sugar, right? We want to get muscles, but guess what? When we go to the gym, weights are heavy. Man, they're heavy. And it hurts, but I want those muscles. But weights are heavy. We want the crown without the cross. So listen to how Jesus responds here in verse 8. He says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So now there have been two temptations and two responses by Jesus that begin with what? It is written. Jesus is making a habit of quoting scripture. He is fighting back against the lies of Satan with biblical truth. And this time, the truth is that he is going to worship God and God alone. He doesn't want any idols to get in the way of his true worship to the true God. He is teaching us here that if we desire to take shortcuts around the sometimes these painful lessons of discernment and the knowledge of our Lord, that we might in fact be following Satan's plan. Satan doesn't want us reading and studying our Bibles. Satan doesn't want us to be patient. Satan doesn't want us to lift spiritual or physical weight. He doesn't want us to do those things. He wants us to identify shortcuts and follow those shortcuts because he knows they are subtly disguised idols. They are the temporary crowns without the cross, or the burdens that lead to eternal rewards. The work of Christ can be hard. It is hard, but it is rewarding. And we can know from what Jesus says here that if we avoid shortcuts, we are, in fact, worshiping the Lord our God. Jesus here quotes, he actually quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, which says, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." And that takes us to temptation number 3, the last temptation the devil throws at Jesus. The devil, he leads Jesus to the highest point, it says, in the temple. And in verse 11, he says, Satan says, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here." And now look what Satan does. He uses scripture as part of this temptation. Satan says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Do you see what Satan did? After Jesus had responded to the first two temptations by saying, "it is written," in quoting scripture, Satan picks up on that and he says, "oh, I can play that game too, Jesus. I can play that game. I can quote scripture too." So he quotes Psalm 90, chapter 91, verses 11 and 12. But of course, what Satan does here is he takes scripture out of context and he throws it at Jesus. He cherry picks a scripture and tries to play a game with Jesus in order to trick Jesus. That should all be a warning to all of us, right? That just because someone can quote scripture doesn't mean that we should listen to them. Satan quoted scripture here. Essentially, this temptation from Satan is to say, you can just live recklessly. You can do whatever you want, and God has said he will save you. You can test God, and he's promised that he will always come through for you. Don't worry about your actions or the results. Just do it. God will save you. God will catch you. God will save you. That's the temptation Satan brings here. Listen to Jesus' final answer. In verse 12, Jesus says, "it also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So in the second temptation, Jesus' response was quoted from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, where he said, "fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." So in this third temptation, though, Satan cherry picks a scripture to try and sway Jesus. And Jesus does something very interesting here in his response. He goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the third one, and essentially he shows Satan that he knows Satan is taking scripture out of context, but Jesus knows and he lives the scripture in context. And he does that, he gives that example by quoting Deuteronomy 6 again, but verse 16, and he lets Satan fill in the void. So in context, what it says here is, "fear the Lord your God," starting in verse 13. "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth." And this is what he's quoting here in verse 16. "Do not test the Lord your God as you tested him at Massah." Two very important lessons here as well. Our God is not to be tested. And that's stated very plainly. That's the obvious point, right? We should take, though, a very stern warning here that our willful sinfulness should not be taken lightly. Should not be taken lightly. We are testing the Lord our God when we do that. The second and maybe more underlying message, though, here is that Jesus is saying, know your scripture. Know your context, right? Know how to counter the enemy. Because the enemy, many times disguised as Christian authority, will come at us with scripture and they'll cherry pick it and they'll lead us away from God. If we apply the first two temptations that Jesus faced and we know that we can't rely on ourselves, and that we need to avoid shortcuts at all costs, it leads us to this third one, that we will really then be ready to face the third temptation and apply Scripture in its context to our everyday lives, our everyday struggles, and our everyday challenges. The last verse in this passage here, in verse 13, says, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time." Isn't it true in our lives that Satan is always looking for an opportune time? A time in our lives when we're tired or we're frustrated, we're weak because of something, we're vulnerable in those times. A time where we have stopped reading our Bible. That'll get you. Maybe it's a time where we haven't been in fellowship with strong Christian soldiers. Maybe we've been in fellowship with cowards who claim Christianity, but encourage men to be effeminate weaklings and let the women lead the church and be swayed by modernity. Maybe we've been in fellowship the wrong way. These all lead us to be especially susceptible to believe Satan's lies. So let's close this out with a couple of important truths. One, Jesus quoted Scripture, right? That we kept going over that. He fought the lie of Satan with biblical truth. And I encourage us to think through areas of our lives where we are most vulnerable and find Scriptures to memorize. My mom is a great lesson of this. Scripture all over the place. Colleen's a great example of this. Scripture to have on a note in your car. Scripture to have on a magnet on your refrigerator. Scripture that you can pull out to fight against the lies of Satan. As fellow Christians here, as fellow Christians, we should go to each other and ask each other, what is a good verse for me to memorize? Something to meditate on this week, because I'm struggling with anxiety or laziness or lust or etc. Help me out with a scripture to memorize. I need something to meditate on to fight the lies of Satan this week. The second thing is this. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." This tells us that Jesus is a sympathetic high priest, right? He's not some savior out there who doesn't understand what we're going through. He's a savior who he's walked in our shoes. He's been tempted. He's fought against that temptation, and he knows exactly what we're going through as well. We can draw on him for strength and wisdom. We can learn from him. He knows our situation, and he wants to come to our aid. He wants to come to our aid. Find scripture to help you fight the lies of Satan. Lean on our Savior who knows our situations. Thank you for listening to the Alan Wright Sermons podcast. We hope you'll join us next time. God bless you, and have a wonderful week.